That's the Spice Girls on Nova 103.5 with Wannabe. So, as we were talking about earlier, all those headlines, just a simple search for suicide in Namibia online, and you just get bombarded with loads and loads of headlines, and nice historical headlines as well. 2 days ago, 6 days ago, loads and loads of different stories. But then there are the historical ones as well. It is a crisis. It's not necessarily a new crisis. And as promised, I have Patrick Dekhude in the studio with me, so that we can sort of discuss this crisis. Morning, Patrick.
Hey, Dave. How's it going? Good to be here.
Yeah, so, I mean, like we say, it's not new necessarily, but it is obviously something that we want to stop. And it is something that, if we look at, we don't really have clear statistics, but word of mouth, anecdotally, it looks like it is increasing. The rate of suicide is definitely increasing in the country.
Sadly, that seems to be the case. I mean, I don't come at this from any sort of, educated or formal angle, but based on where I am busy work-wise, it definitely seems like it's on the increase and significantly so.
Mm.
And it's worrying. You know, we have this conversation every year. There's always, it's interesting that there's a month allocated to, you know, to suicide prevention, suicide awareness, much like months are allocated to things, but
yeah.
this has become a daily, it's a daily thing, and it's certainly on the increase.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned the work you do. Obviously, you do deal with this sort of stuff directly. You deal with, you know, people who have, you know, tried to commit suicide, you know, unsuccessfully, thankfully, I suppose, but also that has repercussions and consequences of its own.
100%. I mean, so my engagement from a work point of view is pretty diverse. You know, I work with TSU in the tactical space. I do sports commentary. I own two gyms with my partners. I do some teaching in the corporate space. And so I think I have a pretty sort of wide angle on what's going on. And it seems to be really, really rife amongst men and more so in the corporate space, I think, where maybe job satisfaction isn't as high. There's a lot of things. I mean, it's all like a big melting pot. It's almost like you're trying to peel the onion. But I have conversations with men who are mentor, or just guys who reach out maybe just for a cup of coffee, that sort of thing. And to go full circle back to the question, it's definitely escalating, and it's hugely problematic. I mean, the president has said that she lies awake at night and is perplexed by what's going on.
Yeah. And it's scary. I mean, obviously we do have the teen suicide as well, but like you say, you're talking about, you know, business people that we see, and obviously the sort of trite expression, I suppose, everyone you see is fighting a battle that you don't know anything about, but it's true. You see these people and you see the outward projection. You assume this person is, you know, they're successful, they're all together, they're earning money, but they are stressed and they have all sorts of other things that we don't necessarily see that are happening behind the scenes.
100%. And I think men in particular just struggle to cope more. I mean, it's an oversimplified answer. I was in a vehicle a week ago driving south to the Fish River, and myself and the driver were male. The three female occupants were Oshivambo Herrera, Damara Nama, and then a lady from South Africa. And it was interesting their perspective on what men. So I may be coming at it with a bit of a turn, but the woman in the car said, "So why are so many women running? Why aren't men running?" And particularly in their communities, you know, in the Oshivambo Herrera communities. And their short answer was, "Well, the guys are sitting in bars. You know, the guys are sitting drinking." And so I think men process differently. Women are far more adept at communicating. Men struggle to communicate, especially when it comes to things like emotional, psychological stuff. I think guys kind of turn inwards. And then most often when they turn inwards, they turn to other things, which comes in the form of substance abuse. And then that quickly kind of goes into a downward spiral, and depression enters the picture, and before you know, people are, I don't know, just finding ways to end their lives. And it's tragic, you know, the aftermath, you know, for families. I've spoken to a couple of families who've had to navigate a season where the fathers or the husbands have exited the the picture, and it's rougher. It's really, really rough.
I mean, I know it's easy to you bring in the side of the family that's left behind, and it's easy to judge those men who have left their families behind and have taken what some people sort of see as the easy way out. And I mean, I've got sort of tattooed on my arm, you have to have felt the flames to really understand a terror way beyond falling. And it's a David Foster Wallace quote where he actually explains, I mean, tragically, he killed himself in the end as well. But him explaining suicide not as something somebody is desiring necessarily, but almost seen as the only escape, to escape from the fear of those flames. So, you know, we sort of... I'm trying to think what I'm trying to say is kind of, you know, men almost get judged as well. We are not necessarily, women are hard on men. Men are hard on men. You know, you'll be judged if you break down. We've seen the cases with sort of rappers who have had an Instagram video where they're crying and they get completely destroyed because, oh, look at you. You're not a man. You're crying. You're showing your feelings. But then that same person would then, you know, not show their feelings, commit suicide. And then you get judged for having, you know, taken the easy way out and left your family behind and not dealt with it like a man.
Right. And then so I think we find ourselves in a place, particularly with the onset of social media and the in inverted commas importance of social media and what people are expected to be and expected to do. There's this hugely polarized view and there's no more middle ground, right? So you've either got to be stoic and you've got to like suck it up and cowboys don't cry and all of that narrative, or the flip side of that is you've got to be vulnerable and weeping and neither of those two serve us well. I think there's a couple, and it's a complex conversation. I mean, I talk to people who are skilled in this field, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, people who really know what goes on in like the turning the gears and the cogs within people's heads, particularly men. And again, I think men simply struggle to communicate. You know, we had there was a case last week of a businessman. He was late 50s, and he just, it's tragic stuff. And I just wonder who these guys talk to. I think one of the biggest, and maybe from a sort of a personal perspective, one of the biggest, I guess, safeguards for me, or like a circuit breaker for me, is simply that I have a very, very dedicated kind of inner circle. I have three or four guys and we share, you know. Everybody carries a burden. I mean, I taught some stuff in the corporate space a while ago, and it comes back to empathy, and you don't know what people are going through. So just the idea that we'd be kinder all around, but I think that's a little bit fuzzy and it's a little bit sort of woolly on the edges. I think men need to commit to reaching out to other men. And that goes both ways when I say that. So we should be, as men, we should be checking in on other men. And I think as men, we should make ourselves accountable to other men. And I don't think we should be talking, and this is a very personal point of view, but I don't think we should be talking to women about the stuff we're struggling with. I don't think my wife needs to hear what it is that I'm trying to process. She needs to know that I'm okay, and that's where it ends. But from a guy's point of view, the conversations I have with my inner circle, with my 3AM circle, for lack of a better description, that's kind of where we unpack the stuff, you know. And men, as I've said it once, I'm saying it again, men process differently. They need to process differently, you know. We are different. XYXX. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the men going and sitting at the bar and drowning their sorrows as such, and obviously there are healthier ways of doing it, but I just sort of thinking there about, and you know, talking about your gym, and I know the CrossFit community is sort of different to a standard gym, you know, where I go to. And I always laugh. My wife has developed this entire circle at the gym where they greet each other every morning, guys and girls. And I go to the gym and I walk in, I do my stuff and I walk out, and I haven't said boo to anyone there. And it's almost like, you know, just chat to the guy on the machine next to you. It's not that weird.
You know what? I think that's okay, though. I think it's whether it's the gym or whether you go and play a round of golf or whatever it is you go and do, it's okay to do that on your own. I just think that I get the sense that men are lonely. You know, so there's the superficial thing, and I've said this in one of my talks. In fact, when Craig was here last year, or the year before that, even, you know, men are really good at surrounding themselves with yes men. Guys who will help you believe your own brand of BS, and vice versa, and that's not what we need. What we do need is to take men who are lonely and isolated, and I think the pressure, the external pressure, to be something that the world tells you you need to be. I think that that pressure sort of continues to build. We're driving cars we don't need to drive. We're paying bonds we don't need to pay. We're living up to standards that are completely, and I mean the same is true for women, you know, when it comes to beauty and that sort of thing. There are these completely unrealistic standards that we're expected to sort of attain and even surpass. And so I think a lot of guys just kind of go down the rabbit hole and it's all work and it's all about providing for the family, and there's almost no joy left in that, and they withdraw. Right, so I think a lot of men are lonely. And I don't really know what I think the answer to that is quite organic in terms of, you know, it would look different for three or four guys over here versus three or four guys over there. But I think at the crux of it, the heart of it, is that men need to talk to men.
And I think that's a perfect way to end it there. We can carry on talking about this forever, and you know I'm going to be calling on you again in the future to come and chat to me again. But yeah, Patrick Dukhude in the studio with me this morning, talking about the men's, not just men's mental health, but the mental health crisis and the suicide crisis that we are facing right across the planet, but specifically here in Namibia. As Patrick says, men need to talk to men. Patrick, thanks for talking to me.
Dave, just as a closing thought, maybe all the guys that are on air this morning that are listening, pick up the phone and reach out to somebody this morning that you haven't spoken to in a while. Just pick it up and do it.